superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
You guys think you're going to compete for national championships, and you're not.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're out-played, out-paired, out-coached.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And I'm not going to come on here and demand a change. Who is Michigan bringing in?
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, New Orleans Saints safety Malcolm Jenkins. Tampa Bay Times Bucks writer Rick Stroud. Three-time Super Bowl champion executive Scott Pioli. Coming up, Washington football team head coach Ron Rivera. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, TJ Jefferson, the Rich Eisen Show social media grandmaster, has started off each hour with a dead solid perfect putt, which means it's a great day. It's a great day in the neighborhood. Everyone should go out and vote. It is election day. If you have not yet voted, get to the voting polls and make sure that your voice is heard. It is such an important part of being an American. Once this show's over, go and vote. And we've got an hour to go here. Great chat so far with Malcolm Jenkins, Rick Stroud, and Scott Pioli here on the Rich Eisen Show, talking about the Saints win over the Bears, the Saints upcoming game with the Bucks, respectively, and with Malcolm Jenkins and Rick Stroud, and then Scott Pioli about a trade deadline day. News off the top of our third hour before we get to our esteemed guest, as if Andy Dalton doesn't have enough problems going on in the concussion protocol. He has just been placed on the COVID-19 list. He is positive for COVID-19, and thus he will not be back for the Dallas Cowboys this weekend. It's going to be Ben DiNucci time again for the team, but the larger issue is obviously we hope Andy Dalton is well and
definitely
will return healthy as soon as possible. So that is some news, as Andy Dalton is the latest member of the National Football League to test positive. John Elway earlier today, it was announced, has been tested positive, or reported by Ian Rappaport. So my gosh, everybody stay well and stay healthy. And in terms of staying healthy, couldn't be more pleased to have on the Rich Eisen Show the head coach of the Washington football team, one of our favorite guests and one of my favorite people that I'm lucky enough that I've gotten to meet in my years with the NFL and the NFL Network. He is the head coach of the Washington football team, Ron Rivera. How are you, coach?
I'm doing well, Rich. I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's a true story. I truly feel that way. And very, very many interviews I don't start with, how are you feeling? But this is obviously a germane question of you. How are you feeling, coach? How are you feeling?
I'm actually doing pretty well. You know, I finished up my last cycle of chemotherapy and radiation treatment last week. Mm-hmm. I'm in the recovery phase of it where, you know, you're hoping the medicine continues to do its job and finish off the cancer. And hopefully when I get my PET scan in January, everything will be where it needs to be.
And so what has that been like? Can you just walk me through what a normal week for you has been over the last few weeks, coach?
Well, really what happens is I get five proton treatments a week, Monday through Friday. I got three cycles of chemo, one every 21 days. And so what would happen is, just depending on the week, my chemo could coincide with my proton therapy, which really, really zaps you. And so really, at the beginning of the week, those weeks, you know, it really is a battle. You know, the positive thing that Monday and Tuesday are typically our game planning things, you know, which the coordinators were handling. And then, you know, working my way to getting out to practice on Wednesday and Thursday were a struggle. By Friday, I really started to feel better. And then Saturday, you know, I was able to do my duties, and Sunday, you know, the way I needed to have them done for the game time. So it was a struggle at times, but I was very fortunate. I had a lot of good people behind me, and really kudos to our coordinators for the job that they did during that period.
We're seeing the video of you walking down the hallway with your caretakers celebrating your final treatment. What was this moment like for you, coach?
It was surreal because, you know, when you first start, you know, it's that old saying is, you know, we get caught up on how far we have to go as opposed to how far we've come. And that's really what it kind of felt like was, gosh, I've made it. I'm where I need to be. And it really was surreal. And it left me speechless because, you know, they just didn't do it because it was me. They do it for all their patients that finish. There was a little young man that actually had finished. He was a huge Nats fan. He's a huge fan of Baby Shark, which was their theme a year ago.
Yes.
And so when this kid was finishing up, they were doing the Baby Shark dance. And I just happened to walk in when they were rehearsing it, and I started doing it with them. So it was kind of fun. It really was. Man. But it's you know, hats off to those folks that are the caregivers, because they're tremendous people.
They sure are, and obviously humanity is suddenly becoming a little bit more lost in our world these days, Coach. And, you know, just seeing these videos and seeing you do what you've done, it just gives so much hope and inspiration to so many people. But in terms of a subset of individuals in the world that I've come across, coaches are the biggest control freaks I've ever met. What's it been like for you to be in a situation where you really can't control it? At all.
Very frustrating. Very, 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 very frustrating. It really was. It was very frustrating because, you know, there's so many things that you do as a head coach, so many things you're responsible for. And I felt guilty several times not being where I needed to be as a coach. And like I said, thank goodness for Jack Del Rio, because Jack had gone through this, you know, with Coach Fox, and he's been tremendous. He really has. And, you know, not to mention that he's done such a great job with our defense this year. I mean, you know, in spite of all the things that he's had to do in terms of handling some of my duties, you know, leading our defense to where we are right now, you know, in the top 10 in a lot of categories has really been yeoman's work. So, you know, hats off to having a guy like that. But it's been so frustrating just because, you know, certain things that I see would happen and there's not much I could do about it because I just, you know, I'm dealing with my situation. But again, like I said, when you have people, you have coaches and players that really take responsibility, that helps.
No, sure. And I guess last one for you on this, but I have to follow up. What do you mean by guilty? You really felt guilty about the fact that you couldn't
do it? I did.
I mean, really?
Because, you know, I'm a football coach. Like you said, you want to be in the middle of it. You want to be helping your guys, you know, and there are sometimes you just feel like, you know, I couldn't give them all of me, you know, the things that I do. And so that was tough for me. It was a tough pill for me to swallow. It really was. And that's kind of, I felt odd about it. I mean, I never thought I would be a coach that sat in a cart and watched practice. And that's what I did. I sat in a cart. I watched practice. You know, I blew the whistle from the cart. I mean, that was, you know, instead of being able to walk around and, you know, pat somebody on the back and say, hey, great job, or hey, pick it up. You know, you need to do this. I was removed from it, and that became frustrating, and I got angry about it. And I also, like I said, I felt guilty about it.
And so, from moving forward, you're out of the cart, and basically, the next thing for you is your scan in January. That's basically it right now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. What I have is I have a weekly checkups with my two doctors.
That must be great.
It's kind of cool now.
Right.
It is. It really is. I mean, you know, to be able to sit down and watch tape and you know, not worry about, oh, I got my appointment here, I got this appointment coming up there, you know, take this medicine, take that medicine, you know. I'm down to just taking one set of medicines a day, and that's it. And as opposed to, you know, having this regimen that I had to follow and, you know, I couldn't miss or couldn't be late on. I'm telling you, I was very, you know, like I said, I was very fortunate, you know, that we caught it early. We had a good plan, had a great team of doctors.
Well, Ron Rivera, let's talk a little bit of football then and some of the football decisions that you have had to make or you made over the last several weeks. And let's start with the quarterback position. How would you rate your belief in Dwayne Haskins right now?
I think my belief in Dwayne is probably somewhere, I'd probably give it somewhere in the 70s. You know, he's got a terrific arm. He really does. He's got an NFL arm. He's got a good release. He's got good athleticism, but he's got a lot to learn. And that's what I learned from my 11 weeks with him as our starter. You know, we went through 7 weeks of training camp. He took every snap with the ones. We went 4 games. He took every snap with the ones. But as we were going through it, one of the things that I saw was that he's got a lot to learn. And then lo and behold, we're in a situation where I'm looking at, you know, what's going on in the East, and I'm saying, God, we got a shot. So I wanted to put the ball in somebody's hands that knew the system, in terms of Kyle Allen, who had played for me in Carolina, who knew the system, had been in the system for three seasons. And I felt that was the best decision, and that's what I did.
Okay. And in terms of Kyle Allen, here he is in his first game, and he gets hurt, and Alex Smith gets put out there. I mean, what was going through your mind when you saw him and maybe Aaron Donald on his back? Coach, what was that?
Cool. I thought, cool, you know what?
Right.
But you know why, though? Because, you know, during this whole process, Alex kept asking for more, and I was trying to, you know, I wanted to kind of gradually bring him along, but he kept pushing for more. And so what happened was, near the end of camp, it was, all right, we threw him in there. Hey, get in there, do this. And, man, he just kept answering the bell. So, you know, so Kyle gets hurt, and I made the conscious decision that I'm just going to stick with Alex and let him finish the game. Even though Kyle could have probably gone in if we needed to. But I didn't want to risk putting him back in, getting him hurt, and then he's done. So I thought, let's see what happens. And again, Alex wanted this. I mean, Alex was ready. He went out and he performed. Yeah, well, I wish it was under better circumstances.
Right.
But he handled it. And I'm telling you, every day I see Alex now, I see this guy that just prepares and gets ready just in case.
And what is Dwayne Haskins' relationship with the team right now? I mean, is he...
It's been good.
Okay.
He's number three. He comes in. He does some work with the scout teams. He does his work with the coaches. He's in meetings. He's getting his workouts. You know, it's funny. I bench the guy, and it's like everybody thinks his career is over here in Washington. It's not. There's potential. There's an opportunity because, again, the kid has an NFL arm. It's just a matter of him developing. Remember, everybody forgets. He played 12 games in college football. And then last year, he really didn't get into the swing of things until near the end of the year. He didn't have OTAs. He didn't have mini camp. He didn't have a normal training camp. But I did everything I could to give him 11 weeks as the number one. And he did some good things. And I'm not going to deny that because, again, he has the arm. But with him, I think it's about development and growing. And that's what we want to do. This guy is young. This guy's, you know, he's got an opportunity to develop and grow. We'll see what happens as we go forward.
And what is the relationship with Ryan Kerrigan and the team right now? How would you term that?
Oh, I love Ryan. You know, and I think it's a good relationship. I think Ryan's done a great job. You know, and I said this the other day. I said his play to production is pretty doggone good, to the point where I've made the statement, we need to get him on the field a few more times. Here's a guy that every time he's out there, he does something, he's productive. This guy's had a great career. This guy's a legacy player here, and that's where I see him. I think this guy can help us going forward. And we'll see what happens.
And now we'll see what happens, Ron Rivera, in this NFC East that, you know, you've got a shot. If this week, you know, you got the New York Giants coming up.
Yes.
Next up for you. And, you know, with a win here to go to 3-5, that puts you a half game behind the bye-weeking Eagles. And you're flat out in the mix in this. I mean, it's an interesting division, wouldn't you say? Coach, you've never seen anything like it.
I went through this in 2014 when I was in Carolina.
That's right.
Remember, we won that division at 7-8-1. You know what's interesting is there's been recently there's been a team that was 8-8 that won their division and won a playoff game. There was a team that was 7-9, won their division and won a playoff game. And then there was a team that was 7-8-1, won their division, won a playoff game. So anything's possible. You just gotta get into the dance.
Okay.
And so, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, again, I promise you, the Giants are thinking the same way we are. Hey, we can win this game, man. We're right in the thick of it. So going forward, you know, you've got to play your best football, especially against division teams.
And how good is Chase Young now that you're been exposed to him playing? That's right. So where do you rank him?
He has a chance to have one of the top rookie type of years. Like you saw with the Boses. I mean, this is that kind of player. He's a guy that comes along every now and then, you know. And again, don't sleep on Montez Sweat. I think we have a real good tandem of two young defensive ends that really have an opportunity to make an impact in this league. And if we can keep them together for a while, we can be a pretty good defense.
Okay, Coach, really appreciate the time. I'm thrilled to hear that you're well. You sound great. I mean, you sound like you're ready to go, and you're back, and you got an opportunity to make some hay in your division. Sounds great.
Well, I appreciate it, Rich. And again, hey, everybody, get out and vote as soon as this show's over.
I appreciate that. By the way, and I appreciate you saying that, not right now, that, you know, you understand I've got 40, you know, 40-some-odd minutes left. So I appreciate it, Coach. Thanks for the call.
All right. All right, Rich. Be safe.
You got it. That's Ron Rivera. Riverboat Ron Rivera. We talked about the whole Haskins thing when the benching happened. 12 games, that's it.
Trubisky only had 12 games as a starter.
Well, you know, Sanchez didn't have much time, nor did Darnold, too, by the way. Yeah. You know, it's just one of those things where you just think to yourself, how does it come around to Haskins again? How does it?
Not in Washington.
Now, obviously, no, hold on. You know, a coach, you could sit here and say, well, he's just buried the kid, and that's the end of that. And his point is, you know, we're going to coach him up under our system. Kid gets drafted. Coach didn't want him, as Joel Klatt blew that story up when he was on this show last year. Coach didn't want him.
Right.
There's a whole argument. Coach gets fired. He's thrown in there in a total disaster of a season. And then new coach comes in, gives him a shot, and goes, you know what? We have a shot here in the division. You're not ready yet. I've seen that. Which takes a lot of you know what for the coach to do, especially since it might have been the owner that said we're drafting him. That's all the word on the street. You know what? We're going to do this, and we'll coach him up in our system. Let him spend some time with Alex Smith. Let him do what he needs to do. Let him learn how to be a professional that he might still need to do. And let's try and win games with Kyle Allen.
Definitely didn't seem like he disregarded Haskins.
No, I know a lot of people might think that that's lip service, but again, you have to understand the way a coach is looking at it is just like, I inherited him. I'm giving him the shot. I see the live arm. Mm-hmm. But I saw enough through all training camp with no preseason and then the first four games to see that he's not ready yet.
Yeah.
Saw that at a front row seat for it. I've got a guy that I brought in case that this did in fact happen, where I would see that he's not ready yet. I got a guy who knows the system very well. I nearly made the playoffs last year with him in Carolina. And this defense might be better than the one in Carolina. And they might have a better shot to win this division because there is no New Orleans Saints team that's at the top of the division. They can actually have a clear path to the basket. They win against the Giants in a short week at FedEx Field. They're a half game behind the Eagles. Right? And then they're at Detroit, home for Cincinnati, Thanksgiving Day in Dallas.
They can win all those games.
Those are winnable games. At Pittsburgh, San Francisco, they have to go there. Home for Seattle, home for Carolina. Won't that be something? Maybe we got to get him back on prior to that game. At Philly, could be for all the old proverbial NFC East marbles. Right? Let's not forget, they already beat Philadelphia in that week one. Now, Philadelphia's got that tie, so there will be no tiebreaker necessary.
Right. But they could win at San Francisco. We don't know what that Niner team's going to look like.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows what Carolina's going to look like. Nobody knows what, you know, Detroit's without Kenny Golladay.
Cincinnati's proving to be a tough out.
Yes, they are.
Joe Burrow can play.
Yep. Good chat with Ron Rivera. Phone calls and Chris Brockman's news update. We'll keep an eye on the waiver wire, trade wire, and all that good stuff. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Everybody, the Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to RichEisenStore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve and white or heather gray. We've got hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to RichEisenStore.com and shop your head off right now. Chop your head off right now, people. Words I never said. RichEisenStore.com. How about us?
Well,
how about us?
How about us?
How about us?
How about us? Christmas is right around the corner.
Oh, here it is. Just in case you're wondering, here it is in action. Here it is. Okay, richeisenstore.com. Go there. Make somebody happy. We got masks, too.
All right.
Got Rich Eisen Show masks. I tried it out. We QC'd it. Oh, seriously, I tried to blow out a candle with it. You can't blow out a candle with it.
The most important thing is, does it get the Susie Schuster stamp
of
approval on the mask?
Back here in our radio audience, we just announced to our Peacock audience, and I'll tell our radio audience as well, richeisenstore.com. Mm-hmm. We got shirts, we got hats, mugs, and even a mask. You asked, did I have my wife quality control the material? Do you want to answer that question for yourself?
What do you think?
What's your guess? What's your stab in that yes or no question?
I'm going to say that they are Susie Schuster approved.
They are indeed.
I don't think they would have made the website that
they would not have made the website. They would not have made the website. But yeah, we test drove everything. Everything's all set. First iteration of the mug, they came back as small mugs. We're not a small mug show. We are not a small mug show.
We're 3 hours. You got to fill that thing up.
We're a big mug show. Yeah. We're a big mug show. Okay? I mean,
That's a good T-shirt.
Like, you take a look at the Latte Larry's mug.
Or a big
it's just the same thing. Big mug. And, you know, if you come here ever, can't go number two. Okay? Can't go number two just like Latte Larry's. All right? Just like that.
Although someone has gone number two.
Well,
we used to have people in studio, but I'll never say
Oh, my gosh. Oh. You mean like a guest?
Or an affiliate.
Whoa. I don't even know how I think we should probably change the subject.
We should probably move on.
All right. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take a couple calls and get you ready for your news update. All right, Christopher?
There's a lot going on.
All right, here we go. Let us go with David in Richmond, Virginia. He's been waiting for almost a half an hour. What's up, sir? You there, David? All right. Let's put David back on hold, if you don't mind. Let's go to Nate in Denver. What's up, Nate?
Hey, how's it going, Rich?
What's going on in your mind? What's up, Nate?
Well, I heard you guys talking about Jimmy G earlier, and that led me to go down this crazy into this crazy world, yeah. But I'm now going to invite you to come with me into this crazy world for a minute.
Yes.
Let's say the 49ers get rid of Jimmy G, right? And bring in Aaron Rodgers to finish his career in a 49ers uniform. What are your thoughts?
Oh, my God. My gosh. Do you want to make a wish on that? You want to wish upon a star?
Make a wish.
I mean, the thing is, I'm a Packers fan, right? But I would much rather he go to the 49ers than, like, the Bears.
Oh, my. Well, I mean, I don't think he's going to the Bears, dude. I wouldn't imagine he would do something like that. Although,
I
you
don't
can
know.
Never. No, I mean,
or
look.
Went to the Vikings.
I know. I appreciate the call. Wouldn't that be something that he goes to the team that he would hope to, that would have drafted him instead of Alex Smith? Can you imagine if they had drafted him instead of Alex Smith? What would happen right there? Could you imagine if that had actually happened?
Well, also, that should have been Matt Leinart's spot. Matt Leinart stayed in school that year when he would have been the number one overall pick if he had come out.
He would have probably been taken, right?
Yeah. True.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers beat USC. Aaron Rodgers at Cal showed some serious ability.
But Aaron has said he expects to finish his career in a
somewhere
different uniform,
else. I know. Well,
so
I mean,
it's going to happen.
Wouldn't San Francisco be
it's just where he goes
if that happens? He's not. Brady's showing at age 43, you can do it, and it gets got at least 7-8 more years left of his career if he wants it.
I don't know if he's on the AR-12 method.
I don't know,
like Tom, but. He can definitely. I mean, Aaron Rodgers looks phenomenal this year.
Right. Let's try David one more time. David in Richmond, Virginia. We'll give him another shot. You there, David? Oh, boy. We'll put him back on hold. All right, Chris, you ready for your news update?
Let's rock.
Let's get Chris Rockman's news update right here on the Rich Eisen Show on Election Day Tuesday.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, everybody. It's amazing on Election Day that Tom Brokaw takes time out of his day at NBC News Emeritus to introduce you, Chris. It's remarkable
great,
every day.
I mean, it's not really going to ramp up for a few hours. So, Tom.
Yeah, Tom's got some
free
time.
Yeah,
thanks.
Did you guys see this yesterday? Chris Mortensen reported that the NFL Competition Committee is expecting to present a resolution to owners based on a contingency of having a 16-team playoff this year if games are lost due to the pandemic, especially with bye weeks disappearing. The contingency if necessary, 8 teams each conference, 4 division champs, 4 wild cards. You down with this idea?
Is it now 4 wild cards or it's the second place team in every division?
It says 4 wild card teams.
All right.
So the 4 division winners in each conference and then 4 wild cards.
I am up for whatever.
Seems to be this year
is
only.
A legitimate, and that's again because as we're seeing it more and more and more as the rapid rise of this virus is throughout the country right now. We're seeing it more and more and more. More players are testing positive. More coaches are testing positive. Elway has it. Dalton has it. A.J. Dillon has it. Marlon Humphrey got it yesterday. We're seeing it. And as the season moves on, it is an increasing likelihood of canceling a game, of telling a team we're done. You're not playing. And then week 18 might have to be created. And if there's no week 18, if then there's a week 19 that needs to be created,
right.
They might just say, that's it. Let's just take the top 8 teams in each conference, 4 wild cards, and let's go. There's no bye weeks, and I know that stinks, but this is not a normal year. Whatever can legitimately get us to the finish line and the commissioner handing off the trophy to somebody, I'm in. I'm not going to sit here and go, well, that would stink. Why would they do it? They need to tweak this. They need to tweak that. No shot. Whatever needs to be done. And it's smart to front load it. Here we go. Let's be honest. It's now week 9. Mm-hmm. Fewer and fewer teams have bye weeks left to play, and you can't move things around anymore because whatever happened earlier in the season with the Titans and the Steelers was an easy fix, and then what happened with the Patriots and the Broncos required many teams to have to fix. So I'm down with it. Whatever needs to be down with, I'm down with.
So your eighth seed playoff would be the Raiders in the AFC. They have the tiebreaker over the Dolphins. And the Bears in the NFC are the current 8 spots.
Whatever I need to see Nick Foles in the playoffs for the Chicago Bears, I'm in.
Right now, Foles versus Seattle.
Oh, man.
And then Brady versus the Rams. Packers, Cardinals, Foles, Aaron Rodgers versus Kyler Murray.
Foles versus Seattle. Tell me they play each other. Did they play each other at any point this season? They do not. That would be a boat race, man. And I know the Bears' defense is really good, but that would just be an absolute boat race.
You don't think Foles could keep up point for point with Russell Wilson?
You know, I don't. Russ is cooking. Foles is pulling teeth. Let Foles pull teeth. Let Russ cook. That would be a boat race. That would be a boat race that the Bears fans would love to have a double doink, potentially, you know, take the Seahawks out because they can't play a normal game, as Kevin Clark pointed out from the Ringer.
By the way, on the AFC side, some spicy first-round matchups. Steelers, Raiders in the 1-8, 4-5, Titans, Ravens.
I'm hoping that we could just stick with what we've got.
No, obviously.
I know that, but you know, it's a fun little rabbit hole to go down, and it's smart for the league to do this because it sure looks like they're going to have to, which would stink. But what else you got over there, Christopher?
Yeah, just some COVID news real quick. Andy Dalton, Cowboys quarterback, he not only dealing with concussion protocol, but he has been placed on the COVID list. John Elway also as well. Packers. Aaron Jones, we know, isn't playing with an injury, but A.J. Dillon tested positive, and Jamal Williams is a close contact, so he's been put on the COVID list. He's not going to play Thursday. So the Packers potentially dealing with fourth and fifth string running backs, Tyler Irvin and Dexter Williams for Thursday Night Football against the 49ers.
There is still an outside chance that they're not going to be particularly cautious with Aaron Jones, and they're just like, let's go. It's entirely possible.
No, they could obviously let Aaron Jones play this week.
Or they just say, we're going to be extra cautious and try and beat Nick Mullins with Tyler Irvin and everybody else that the Packers can put out there and win a short week game against Nick Mullins and the B team offensively, minus, I guess, plus Ayuk is the only starter that would be out there, right?
Yeah, and Kendrick Bourne.
Right, those are the only guys. So Nick Mullins and those guys, but let's just sit out Aaron Jones. I know the running back situation is not particularly keen. And then come back week 10 against Jacksonville before loading up. Make sure Aaron Jones isn't coming in and out of a game against Chicago, you know. on Sunday Night Football, the Thanksgiving weekend. Boy, Thanksgiving week right now is a little dicey. I'll be honest with you. A little dicey. Prior to the season, look great. Look great. Right now, it's Houston at Detroit, ooh, game one.
Uh-oh.
Washington at Dallas, game two. And then game three is where we're all going to wake up from our trip to Fan Hayes because it's the second game between the Ravens and the Steelers.
They seem to always play that.
Well,
that Thanksgiving night
it wasn't Thanksgiving.
Oh, it was Christmas
is when is when business boomed with Antonio Brown going over the goal line.
That's right.
And that was with the division on the line. That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was on NFL Network, I believe. We were watching that in our studio. Tirico had the call because he has calls on every great game. I believe Tirico had the call with that one, if I'm not mistaken.
It's pretty quiet on the trade deadline.
Well, what's up with Green Bay?
Okay, yeah. So Diana Rossini, ESPN, reported that she's being told the Packers have discussed trading for Texans wideout Will Fuller. However, disagreement at the highest levels of the organization on whether or not adding an elite receiver in the short term is worth spending the money. Will Fuller tweeted out the Little Rascals gif of just kind of tapping his fingers like,
yeah, like I'm waiting.
Like, what am I doing?
I'm waiting.
Where am I going to play?
I'm waiting. I have one win here in Houston.
Yeah.
Boy, that so
Green Bay is scheduled to get Alan Lazard back this week.
Here's
to
the
help.
Deal. And I'm sure what Gutekunst, let's all at the highest level. You're talking about Mark Murphy, who runs the ship.
Yeah.
You're talking about Gutekunst, who's the general manager. You're talking about Matt LaFleur. And then you start playing connected dots like Ian Rappaport is doing. LaFleur
wants
LaFleur was at Notre Dame when Will Fuller was.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you're Gutekunst, you're like, do I want to flip the two? They're probably asking for a two. You know that. They don't have a two. You know they're asking for, because that two belongs to Miami.
Yeah, hopefully so you know they're probably someone sitting there, is making right decisions with Houston.
They're probably sitting like, let's talk this out, right? You think Houston has got to be asking for two. Would you give up a two for Will Fuller?
No.
I wouldn't do it.
Nope.
I wouldn't do it.
I'd wait to see what Lazard looks like
because
when he comes back.
How many times does Will Fuller get hurt?
Often.
With all due respect, I should have front loaded the
But when
with
he's
all
out
respect.
There, you can see how much he
if
helps.
If he's out there,
deep threat, obviously.
With Davante Adams and then Lazard and Robert rhymes with Funyun Tunyon.
And Aaron Jones, obviously, when healthy.
I know. They would be really, really good. And you'd have to get him up to speed. Somebody who comes in now would have to sit out through week 10, I believe. He certainly would be ready now, and they'd have to get him in the building, and because Antonio Brown had to wait 2 weeks, so you get him in the building, then you get him. So if you're just renting him for 7 weeks, you're not going to give up a two, and plus you'd be like, okay, your predecessor in Houston got a two for DeAndre Hopkins, so let's do the sliding scale here. Let's slide it down a little bit. Let's talk it down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Will Fuller. Most games
the
played
highest
is 14,
levels of the organization. Highest levels.
Now, we know the Packers are publicly owned. Should they poll all the owners?
It's election day. They should add it to the questionnaire, to the people who are currently using Lambeau as a polling place, which is happening right now.
Throw it
in
on
Green
the ballot.
Bay.
Should we acquire Will
Let's
Fuller?
You register if you need to. You sit there. You check in. You vote for real, like in America.
Actual vote.
And then as you leave, you're handed, like, do you think the Packers should trade for Will Fuller? Would you like to see Will Fuller on that field in 2 weeks? Yes or no? You've got all the Packers fans literally at Lambeau voting today. They're all in one place. I think you're onto something.
I feel like we're solving this problem.
but what do you do about owners like Del Tufo who live in Los Angeles?
You're out of luck. You don't get to vote.
Too bad.
Too bad.
Okay. It's just the people in Green Bay.
Yeah, no curbside mail-in ballot for this one.
Del Tufo. Like, what is more valuable to Del Tufo? That one certificate of owning the Packers or the Olaf pet rock that he's got at home?
Or his boat with no name.
His boat with no name. It's
or
a great
Olaf
song.
He keeps in his back seat of his
riding
car.
Riding in the marina.
Is that Toto? Did Toto sing
no
Boat with No Name?
That's America, Rich.
Sorry.
America. Just a couple other things. Wisconsin announced its football game this weekend against Purdue canceled.
Canceled.
Team activities remain paused. We know they canceled last week against Nebraska with 12 positive cases. They're now up to 22, and the school just announced it's actually up to 27.
Oh, no.
Positive cases within the football program.
Oh, what a horror show. That's terrible.
Yeah, 15 student athletes and 12 staff members.
Oh, man, I hope everyone's okay.
That's from a couple hours.
It's running rampant in the state of Wisconsin. Just everybody take a look at the numbers. It's insane. Pat Forty, quoting the Purdue athletic director, Mike Bobinski, saying, "While we looked forward to our game this weekend against Wisconsin, we understand the Badgers' decision to cancel based on medical advice and their need to control any additional transmission of the virus within their team and staff. The health, well-being, and safety of all student-athletes, coaches, and staff remains a top priority for the entire Big Ten and will continue to guide decision-making," end quote. And then Pat adds, "No apparent interest in trying to arrange a side deal with Chattanooga."
I was just going to make that joke.
Well, imagine done. That well is what he texted, is what he tweeted. Imagine that. Yeah, imagine that. Imagine that. But I'm the you-know-what for telling Nebraska that they were out of their minds for attempting that. All the Nebraska fans that came at me.
We know Trevor Lawrence missed last week's game against Boston College, the Clemson quarterback.
Please try to attempt COVID-19. The Clemson quarterback's name.
No, and not part of this story that I'm
But I think you
reporting.
Need to. I think you need to. Who's starting for Clemson this week if it's not Trevor Lawrence, Chris?
Is it DJ Ugalele? Am I close?
Close enough.
Thank you.
Yeah. What is it?
Well, actually, I wrote it down here.
You did write it down.
I did write it down.
You phonetically did it.
Just DJ Ugalele.
Ooey Ungalele, everybody.
Yes.
But
you.
please attempt it.
So Lawrence, he's not going to play this week against Notre Dame.
Oh, I screwed that up.
Dabo confirmed. Lawrence will have cleared 10-day isolation protocol by Thursday, Dabo said. But he does have to undergo a battery of cardiovascular tests designed to identify symptoms of myocarditis that must be completed, and these won't be done by Saturday, so that's why he's missing.
Again, it's not like the concussion protocol where there's no, or it could be, like there's a lingering effect of concussions. I mean, like everyone's expecting, and that's another thing too. I know Cam can keep saying what he wants to say, but he has not looked the same.
I think there's something.
You know, obviously Edelman is gone and weaponry might be different. I mean, They were poised to win that game in Buffalo. We really haven't even discussed that very much. As you came to work dressed as Josh Allen on Monday. Or dressed as Jared Stidham.
Just like shorts and a t-shirt. Lastly, baseball finalists for the awards.
Yes, what do we have?
Out. Okay, so AL MVP Jose Abreu, DJ LeMahieu, and Jose Ramirez for AL MVP. NL MVP Mookie Betts. Freddie Freeman and Manny Machado, your finalists for National League MVP.
Machado, huh? Wouldn't you think they chose the wrong Padre? I'm not a Padre expert, but
I think Machado ended up with the better stats. To
Did
be
he?
Honest.
Okay.
I don't know how.
I mean, I don't know Tatis Jr.'s statistics off the top of my head. All right, now Christopher, who would you choose?
It's Freddie Freeman, hands down.
It is
hands down. But Betts isn't even the best Dodger. Corey Seager had a better season, in my opinion.
That's a hot take. You want to grab the plane? Betts is not even the best Dodger?
From this season.
Oh, okay.
This abbreviated season. That
Corey
has
Seager was the World Series MVP.
Yeah.
We do have their manager tomorrow. Dave Roberts is calling into the program.
Great
tomorrow,
Dave Roberts.
Which we look forward to.
Jacob deGrom going for its third straight Cy Young Award. Trevor Bauer, Yu Darvish.
The GOAT.
The other NL Cy Young pitchers. So good luck, TJ.
Good luck to TJ Jefferson's New York Metropolitans, who have a real billionaire finally running their team.
I don't think the
Bobby Axelrod is owning the Mets right now, man. Here you go.
I don't think the Grom's going to get this one though. Unfortunately,
you don't. Who's it going to be?
I don't know. I mean, that would be three in a row.
Trevor Bauer was awesome.
His
record doesn't reflect it, but he was
sure. Well, just ask him.
Amazing.
He'll tell you.
Yeah,
he'll tell you he deserves it.
Yes, that's right. Bauer outage.
And just think how much better is Jose Abreu going to be after La Russa gets his hands on him.
By the way, Chris.
I had this sent to me, okay? I had this sent to me.
About Tony La Russa?
Oh, God. This is
hold on, Ray. Do it after the break.
After the break. Text I received from somebody whose son is a big fan of baseball who observed something about La Russa that blew me away. I'm like, can I use it on the show? They're like, yeah, go for it.
Fantastic.
So there you have it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. So, I got, this is going to be fun. I'll read it in a second. I'll wait for the radio audience to return. So, that was fun with Malcolm Jenkins before, like hour number one. You always say to me, like, who are the Ohio State people you like? I like him. I like him. I like Breer. Who else? Michael Thomas called in the show once. He was dynamite. I thought he was great.
He did.
Liz Weld. Yeah, no, she's not Ohio State. She's from Ohio. I don't think she went to Ohio State.
Oh, she didn't go to Ohio State.
No.
Okay.
And all these Buckeye State people.
Chris, if I could touch on something real quick. You talked about Corey Seager and Betts.
Would
anyone have been upset had Randy Arozarena won MVP of the World Series?
That's a good question.
Great question.
I haven't heard anyone talk about it.
Yeah, I think Dodgers fans would have been upset.
Besides Dodger, I mean, that guy was pretty much the best player in the World Series.
Well,
if there was ever going to be someone from a loser.
We're back here on Sirius XM as well as our radio affiliate, and you just dropped T.J. Jefferson in the Peacock segment. Just to repeat what you said. How many Dodger fans would have been upset about
well,
what?
I mean,
I'm sure the mightier 1090 listening
fans,
radio audience would like to hear this.
Could anyone have been upset had Randy Arozarena been named MVP of the World Series?
Has the World Series MVP ever come from a losing team? I know once
in the Super Bowl
it happened, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know about baseball. I don't believe
Bobby Richardson in 1960.
From the Yankees?
Yeah.
Even after Mazeroski won with a walk-off. How about that? I didn't know that off the top of my head. Arozarena was incredible. He was a revelation. Nobody could get him out. Nobody.
Yeah. I mean, and Seager was great.
He was.
Arozarena was.
And then from the sixth inning on, Mookie Betts was unstoppable.
He did it all with the glove, with the bat.
Hey, Bobby Richardson was pretty amazing. 367 that year, hit a grand slam, and had 12 RBIs for the Yankees.
All right.
Some Cowboys breaking news here from Ian. Seriously contemplating going back to Cooper Rush as the starting quarterback this week.
Oh, my
word.
Which
would require he get activated from the practice squad, according to
the They've seen enough from Ben DiNucci, huh?
Yeah, DiNucci.
Wow.
I don't know if you want to roll out DiNucci against that Steeler defense.
What, Cooper Rush? NFL Rush?
I mean, at least he's
You know, I mean, Cooper Rush.
Cooper.
Might as well put Kellen Moore out there. He knows the offense. He could just call the plays.
Here's a hot take. Call up Romo.
Oh, my God. No, I think Tony's fine where he is.
Yeah.
That's a pay cut for him. Considerable pay cut.
He's collecting too much scratch.
Are you kidding me right now?
Tony Romo is the best option you guys got.
Stop it.
You know what could be even a better option?
Stop it.
It could be even better is put Caliendo out as Romo. Playing quarterback.
Would that be better than DiNucci Rush?
You should call up Frank. How ready are you if you played Romo as a quarterback? I'm sorry to do this, man, but I cannot believe that the Cowboys season at the midway point has devolved into is who's a better play for him against the Steelers' undefeated team coming in. Is it Cooper Rush or Ben DiNucci? Like, Cooper might have better, you know, because he was in the offense last year. He was the backup that they didn't want to have as their, in case of emergency, break glass quarterback if Dak got hurt. So they got Dalton. Now he's going to be that guy anyway.
Did you
can't
say,
quit Cooper Rush, man.
Did you say you feel bad about that?
I do.
Imagine how I feel then.
I do.
And we got the Steelers coming to town. This is going to be all bad, people. All bad.
So here's this great text, man.
Yeah, what do we got?
Because we talked about Tony La Russa getting the gig at age 76. And if you're wondering about what could be in about 50 words or less, a way to sum up just how wild that is, that Tony La Russa is back managing in Major League Baseball. You ready for it?
What do we got?
I got this again through a friend whose son is a diehard baseball fan and sent this to him. And he's like, you got to hear this. Okay. I'm like, can I use it? He said, yes. And I'm just keeping everybody anonymous. La Russa will have managed both Minnie Minoso, born in 1925, and Garrett Crochet, who's current pitcher, born in 1999. Meanwhile, Mike Socha, who played in the 1988 World Series against La Russa's A's in La Russa's 10th season as a manager, became a manager himself 12 years after that, managed for 19 years, and retired before La Russa got back in the game. Does that sum it up or what?
Old Gen Stats.
Old Gen Stats. Yes. How's that?
What the hell? That's incredible.
To sum it all up. Now, I remember.
And La Russa's in the Hall of Fame, so he's been retired and then got elected.
I remember being like 7, 8 years old and getting a Minnie Minoso White Sox baseball card, probably in like 1979. When La Russa had just started out as a kid manager. And I remember getting that card, and I'm thinking, this has to be an old-time card because this guy looks like he's ancient. And I looked at the back of the card, and it was such fine print because of how many years Minnie had played, and all right. White Sox fans know how long he played. But he will have been able to manage somebody born in 1925 and 1999 as a manager in baseball in 2020. Think of that.
How?
Jerry Reinsdorf, that's how.
That's how.
Last Dance, Tony La Russa, let's go. One more time. Doesn't matter if you win out, Tony.
Minnie Minoso.
It's your one shot.
Minnie majors in triples three times.
He retired in 64 at 38, came back in 76 at the age of 50, yeah. And then played his last year at 54 years of age in 1980.
Yeah. That's Minnie Minoso.
Wow.
Born in 1920. So, you know, like, if somebody gives him lip, he could say, I managed somebody born in 1925.
Yeah, right.
So, I've been around baseball and been around people who have been around baseball. Again, there is like a connective tissue that spans almost a freaking century.
Also, Mira Minoso is from Cuba. They say he was born in 25, but
you never know, right?
He could have been born in like 1916. We don't know. He could have been 74 out there playing.
It is true.
I mean, he died a few years ago at 89.
Allegedly 89.
Well, again, this is truly one of the more remarkable baseball stories. Do I ask that of Dave Roberts? Hey, man, you want to coach? You want to manage when you're 76?
How many years do
baseball
you think
lifers?
La Russa actually manages?
I don't know. I mean, and it could be one of those things where it just somehow works. I know people think it's never going to work. Because there's so many players that forget about, I mean, generation gap. There's generations gap. We're talking about two generations difference.
We thought Jack McKeon was old when he was managing the Marlins.
Well, they won a World Series, didn't they, with Jack McKeon?
Yeah.
Or was that Leland? That was Leland who was the manager.
That was 2003, Rich. You should remember that World
Series.
They did
win
that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's happened. Old hand kind of works, you know, good old father figure, a grandfather figure is the manager, you know, and anybody who thinks that he doesn't allow his players to be wild. I mean, do we want to revisit the Bash Brother era in Oakland where anything goes? Honestly, I mean. Right? So I just figured you'd get a kick out of that text. I didn't think I'd be reading it on a Tuesday, but
that's amazing.
All right, let's sneak in this one last phone call. Tim in San Diego, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Rich. I'm glad it's not Friday because my high register muscles are worn out from screaming like a girl at the Chargers coaching staff for the last 6 weeks. And I also wanted to give out a shout out to Ron Rivera because he was a defensive coordinator for us, arguably the best one we ever had. For 3 years, and a linebackers coach for a year before that with the Chargers. And when he went to the Panthers in 2011, I got stage 4 cancer, and I wasn't supposed to live. I was told to get my affairs in order, and I had a rare and deadly cancer, and I'm 9 years survivor now, talking to you.
Oh, and that's great.
So our prayers were going out. Everybody in San Diego still loves Ron Rivera. He's beloved here.
And in the opposite spirit of that great warm feeling, you want to slag on the current Chargers coaches, Tim?
Well, come on. I mean,
yeah.
Like they're making a career out of blowing second half leads.
It's crazy. I don't know what's going on.
Seasons,
hey,
please.
Look,
I don't know what to say.
Justin Herbert's the right guy, though. I think he's really special. I think you've got yourself a winner right there, man. And it's so rare.
We all love him, and we all have high hopes in San Diego, but I've been upset with the Chargers coaching staff all year, and I was literally on hold yesterday waiting to talk to you about this, and you and Chris started talking about it. And I was like, what am I going to talk about now?
No, you can talk about yourself or anything else. Thanks for the call, Tim. Call back. I appreciate you calling back today because you're going to get in yesterday. How many teams can go from Breeze to Rivers to Justin Herbert and maybe not even get to a Super Bowl? Breeze wasn't Breeze yet, I know.
That's true.
Phillip is Phillip. And now Herbert, we'll see what happens. But he's the right thing. He's right. Right?
Yeah, that kid's the real deal.
So I want to thank today's guests, Ron Rivera, Scott Pioli, Rick Stroud, and Malcolm Jenkins, who, among other things, talked about his documentary that you could see right here on Peacock. It's called Black Boys, and you need to go check it out. Also, while you're checking out other shows right here on Peacock, a show that we know very well because it was born on Audience Network, it's called Mr. Mercedes. It is a dynamite program. It is based on the trilogy of Stephen King. And Detective Bill Hodges is the main character, coaxed out of retirement, played by Brendan Gleeson, who's phenomenal. And there's a thrilling chase going on with a serial killer named Mr. Mercedes. Full episodes are available right now, right here on Peacock. You start streaming it today. Stephen King, some of his finest work in terms of television. Born on Audience, now right here on Peacock. Okay, everybody go vote. If it's possible that you haven't voted yet, and you're thinking, I don't have time. Or I'm thinking, I don't know if it matters. It does, and you do have time. Make sure you have the time. I voted early, and I made sure that I'd be able to make sure that my ballot was counted. It was. There's many different people in this country. If you're somebody who mailed in and you don't know if your ballot's been counted, go check it out right now. There are ways to go on your local state's site. Go vote. It is so very important. You don't want to be sitting here wondering who's your president, who's your senator, who's your congressperson, who's your state senator, who's your state representative, who's anybody, and that you didn't use your right to vote in this great country of ours. We'll see you on Wednesday, and we hope everybody stays safe and everybody stays sane and that you do take the opportunity to vote. That's it for this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We'll see you on Wednesday. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.